Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I appreciate you being here with me today. I hope that you are having a wonderful day wherever it is in this great big world that you are. My smart person today is Tanya Thomas. She is a small business owner of 21 years and is the founder and CEO of Team Delegate LLC. That's an executive virtual assistant company. Team Delegate provides elite virtual assistant support to seasoned executives turned small business owners. Tanya, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to have you. And so virtual assistants and the whole concept of delegation, there's a part of me that is really intrigued by it. There's a part of me that's really intrigued by it, and there's a part of me that's really freaked out about it, okay? And let me kind of give you where I'm coming from. And that is, as a small business owner, there is nobody that is as passionate about my work as I am, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned, you know, when I delegate work, when I share work with other people and ask them to do work, I get concerned that they're not going to have the same dedication, they're not going to have the same passion, they're not going to have the same level of expectation that I am. Is that something that you hear from other small business owners, or is that a me thing?
No, I definitely hear that a lot from other small business owners. Everybody is concerned about people having the opportunity to work with them and then not, you know, do a good job. So that's their apprehension about releasing and letting things go. So what I typically suggest to people is keep your why in mind, because that's going to help you move forward. So whatever your why is for delegating, maybe that's you want to be able to work with more clients so that you can grow your business and have more revenue. Maybe it's spending more time with your family. You know, whatever that may be that's important to you and the reason behind why you're wanting to delegate, number one, keep that forefront. And that will help you to be able to let go. But then the other thing to do is start small. You know, don't start with something huge to delegate and give away. Start small, something that maybe isn't client facing, but something behind the scenes that you can let someone do and ease your way into delegating that way.
Okay. Do you have some suggestions for how people can figure out what it is that they can delegate and what they shouldn't delegate? Can you help kind of clarify that for us?
Sure. Usually what I have people do is do a little simple exercise. So what I ask them to typically do, and it takes a few days, is sometimes you can come up with things off the cuff and off the top of your head that you can immediately think of. But I find that a lot of people that I talk to, they draw a blank when it comes to what they can give someone. So what I usually have people do is have a sheet of paper beside them. And as they're working for maybe 4 or 5 days, at least keep that sheet on their desk. And as they're doing things, be cognizant and think, is this something that I should do or delegate? And so build that list that way. And then at the end of the week, you can come back to it and reevaluate and look to see what things you can truly give to someone else and what things you should definitely keep for yourself. Because, of course, there are things that you'll want to keep yourself. And those are the things that I say are people's, typically, their zone of genius.
Okay.
But, of course, definitely if you're working with clients and you're maybe coaching, of course, you're going to have to do. But there are some other things that you're just exceptionally good at it that help drive the business. And, of course, those are the things, maybe one or two things that you want to keep. And so that's the typical way that I've worked to help people decide what to delegate and what not to delegate.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I think what you mentioned there, I think is something I'd like to highlight, that there is your zone of genius and it's the things that you're really good at, but there's also the element of what is your essential function, right? these are the things, there are certain things within your business that only you can do. That's right. And then, and I guess this is really kind of what it comes down to. When you make that list, here's the list of all of the things that I have done this week. And which of those are the essential elements of what I can only provide for the company? Which of these are the things that are in my zone of genius? And then everything else in an ideal world could be delegated. Now, you talked about this. You talked about starting small. Okay. How small can you start when it comes to doing work with a virtual assistant?
That's a good question. And what I would say to that is, too, you want to think about starting small, but then what can make an impact for you. And I find that a lot of times that's around people's time. So a lot of times, most of the clients that we work with, the biggest thing for them and the biggest thing that they are ready to release and let go of, and that's their schedule. You know, helping them with their schedule and helping them manage their time, which is a bit behind the scenes because it's not client facing, but it does deal with them and how they get things done in their business. But you could also choose something that is even smaller, but of course that could vary from business to business. Maybe it's organizing your contacts or something like that, or your file folders, something behind the scenes that you give someone to do that's a smaller task, if that's a good example that would be helpful to somebody.
Okay. And I guess maybe let me just ask it this way. Does work by project? Does it work by a certain number of hours per week? Or like, how does that process work?
Sure. You can do it by project. And I think that would be definitely the way to go. And that's what I would suggest, which is kind of what I was alluding to before, is doing it basically by project, choosing a small task or project to give to someone to get the help that you need. But the thing of it is, too, you want to not just delegate and forget it, because if you're starting small with someone, but yet at the same time, you don't want to micromanage either.
Sure.
So you have to find that fine line. So if it is something that is a mid-tier project, what you could do is develop delegation checkpoints initially.
Okay.
So you give someone the task and you give them a portion of it, and then you guys decide on a time to come back and meet and discuss that portion that's been done before you move on to the next. And sometimes that helps people too kind of ease into it and feel more comfortable with it. And you could follow that same process until the project is totally complete.
Okay. What is the fewest number of hours that you've had somebody looking to kind of delegate some of the responsibilities from their business?
Some people I've heard that, and also that because, of course, my company, there is a minimum to work with us. But I have known people who wanted maybe 1 or 2 hours per week.
Okay.
And that's great to maybe start, but you definitely don't want to stay there, because when you think about it, the grand scheme of things, how much is that really going to help you?
Sure.
From a time standpoint, just going 1 or 2 hours per week.
Yeah. What do you have to say to small business owners who are like, you know what, I'm a one-man operation, and the reason I'm a one-man operation is just I'm too small. I'm not big enough to delegate. What's your response to that?
I say that, and when I talk to people about it, I say even as a solo entrepreneur, you can still delegate and get help, because spend all of your time doing things that aren't the best use of your time. And you may think that, and some people can think about it from a scheme to think, well, maybe I can't, you know, afford to do it, but really you can't afford not to do it, because even if you're a solo entrepreneur, you can still bring more money into your business. For example, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't really need any support because I take Mondays and that's my admin day and I'll do everything that I need on that day. Well, if you think about it, that's a day that you could be producing revenue. Instead, you're devoting that whole day to non-revenue producing things. So even as a solo entrepreneur, you could increase your income by letting go of that that admin day. Because most likely, if you look at it, your time is valuable. And we all have a dollar amount on our time. And so one way to look at it is to evaluate that and see what the cost is versus you doing it versus someone else taking those things on.
Yep. I was exactly going there. I think you're so smart when you say that. Okay. So yes, you can do it. And sometimes I think that, as solopreneurs, we often underestimate the value of our own time and, where, you know, I'm willing to, when I do this, it doesn't cost me anything. But the fact is that when you do it, it does cost you because you're taking time that you could be producing revenue to do non-revenue producing things, which I think is exactly what you said. And I was actually thinking about this from, you were talking about somebody who's looking for an hour or two a week. And maybe I'm just imagining here, but if you're delegating something like, you know, website stuff, okay, not everyone is website savvy. So now if you're bringing in someone for 2 hours a week to work on a website, you could have done it yourself, but it might have taken you 3 or 4 hours. Now what you're doing is you're able to A, get back a lot of your time, and B, you're able to produce revenue during that time instead of having to, you know, spend it doing other things, and C, you're able to get it done by someone who has an expertise that you don't. Does that make sense at all?
It makes a lot of sense, and I've spoken on that topic before too, because people can take that mindset as well as what you were saying and think, well, they're saving money because they're just going to do it themselves. But you're right. Someone else who's more efficient at it, they would be able to do it in a lot less time than you taking hours to do something, maybe 7, 8 hours, and it takes them 2. Because they're more efficient at it. And really, in the grand scheme of things, you're right. You haven't saved anything because you wasted a lot of time trying to deal with that yourself when you could have spent your time elsewhere and the project would have been done. Not only that, you saved yourself a lot of headache too and frustration.
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of services does your organization offer as far as delegation, as far as a virtual assistant, because that may be one of the hindrances as well. And that is, there are things that I would like to delegate, but I don't know if this is stuff that I actually can.
Right. So what a lot of things that we help clients with, and I mentioned it earlier, the biggest one that all of our clients pretty much have in common is their calendaring, their scheduling. And then a lot of inbox management as well. Email is a big issue for a lot of people with their time, so we help with that as well. Then we also support clients around presentations, helping them with their PowerPoint presentations, helping them with their invoicing, also helping them sometimes with automation. We've had clients that come to us and they didn't have like a structure in place to maybe be able to onboard their clients, for example, having online forms and a way for people to sign things digitally. Or we still work with some clients too who use calendar systems, but they still need support around it. So maybe setting some sort of calendar app up for them. So we also provide support around that as well. But those are some of the things that we help clients with.
Okay. It's interesting. I was thinking more on the lines of some of the, you know, like modern technology with, like, do you do social media or, you know, any type of marketing assistance, or is that something that's outside of what your organization does?
that's outside of what my organization does. We focus primarily on executive virtual assistants. So a lot of our clients are looking more for that executive assistant type support, okay. And they're not really online marketers. But we do provide some social media management from time to time for clients.
Okay, that makes sense. It's wonderful. Now, let me just ask from my perspective, okay? Are the people that work for you, can you give me some insight into who they are and what their background is? Because, you know, so that there's some people I'm worried about who I'm hiring. Like, is this something that you are a wonderful face for your organization, but, you know, in the actual way that the business works, it's a bunch of people that are offshore in some other country, you know, in some third world country being paid $1.50 an hour or something, or that these are just young people that don't have any experience. Can you talk to me about who it is that's working for you so that, you know, kind of speaks to the nature of the services that they're providing?
Sure. We, again, since we're primarily providing executive assistant support, our team members, we say on average, they have 18, maybe 15 to 20 years of experience, I would say, in the corporate world as an administrative assistant or executive assistant. And we have an 8-step, you know, hiring process that we use to truly vet people before they come onto our team. And all of our team are based out of the United States because it's important for us as we're working with our clients that from a time zone barrier and all of that, our clients generally like to work with people who are just maybe one or two time zones away from them.
Okay. And that's helpful to know, you know, and because it helps you to have the confidence in the folks that you're hiring. It's wonderful. So tell me a little bit more. This, as people are, is virtual assistant, is it kind of a step in the process to starting your own office that, you know, eventually you move from having a remote workforce to having a centralized workforce, or how do you see that as a concept?
And just to clarify, so you meaning if people maybe start with the virtual assistant and move into an on-site person?
Or yes. One? Yeah.
Yes. So, and even though as long as I've been doing this, Rob, I still met people before the pandemic who didn't believe in having somebody work remotely with them. They just felt like people needed to be on site. Of course, that's changed since the pandemic, but I see now a lot of people really going more towards virtual and wanting to stay that way. As a matter of fact, we have a client that I can think of as an example. He, when he came to us, he may have only had maybe two employees, you know, besides himself. And since that time, he has now grown his business, and I think he has maybe 14 or 15 employees and opened up offices out of state and one here in state and has an office manager in each one of them. But he's kept his virtual assistant. He still, you know, likes that concept of having her to support him. So I see it as people, again, moving more to that concept and being more comfortable with someone being in a remote position and providing them with support.
Okay. Can you help us with developing a relationship with your virtual assistant? I'm assuming that when you hire somebody, it's going to be the same person that's working for you over the course of time. And it's not going to be changing so that you're having to deal with a different person every time. And then as you have that, can you talk about how that relationship is developed and fostered?
Yes. And the way our business, of course, yes, is structured is that you work with your executive virtual assistant ongoing. And the relationship and communication is huge. And so when clients first come on to work with us, I'll say that, you know, in the beginning, if you can speak with your virtual assistant more than one day a week, that's fantastic. I always suggest if you start out of the gate, maybe at least 3 days a week, and then taper off once you develop that relationship to where you're more in the groove of knowing one another and what the likes and dislikes are, then you can taper off to that maybe one meeting per week, but definitely always communicating with your assistant outside of just email, because it is important to get to know one another. And I always tell the story of, I had a client when I was actually working as a virtual assistant myself, and he came from the corporate world and he had always had an on-site executive assistant. And so he came up with the idea, he's like, I'm gonna call you, you know, in the morning and then in the afternoon and check in to see if there's anything that you need. And I'm thinking, this is so excessive. You know, this is not necessary. But, you know, over the years, and we worked together for a long time, he became, from a client standpoint, I knew him better than any other client that I had. And I was able to support him much better because we had that communication. I think you don't really need twice a day, but just having that constant communication like that was very helpful.
Excellent. Can you give me some help as to how to find that balance? Because, you know, it sometimes some people feel like if we're talking twice a day or more, there's the potential, as you talked about earlier, for micromanaging. But because it's a remote employee, then there is also the potential that they're just kind of out there floating around and without the direction. Can you give us some insight into how to find that balance between micromanaging and just leaving them out on their own to flounder?
Sure. Definitely expectations, and expectations up front. If before you decide to work with someone, if you can find the ability to be able to think about, you know, what are your expectations for that person? What will help them to be successful in their work with you? And present that to them out the gate, that works fantastically in getting the relationship off to a great start, but then also lets that person know. Because if they know, you know, what your expectations are, and most people, you know, if they're good, they want to be successful, they want to bring value to the relationship, then them knowing that, that allows them to be able to do that without you. If it's never communicated, then you may find yourself constantly, you know, having to look over their shoulder and, you know, check things out and different things like that. So, yeah, if you can establish that up front, that will help in the long run.
Okay. And when you say expectations, do you mean that I expect you to do this, you know, this task and this task and this task, or is it more general than that? Or how do you define what the expectations are so that you're setting from the get-go a relationship where everybody knows kind of where they are, what their role is, and literally, you know, what they're supposed to be doing in this relationship?
That's a good question. And it's twofold, I think. You know, it's general and it's from a task standpoint too. So for example, you have an assistant coming on and your expectation is that the person will work proactively with you. Your expectation is that the person will provide accurate work. Your expectation is the person is going to meet deadlines. And I mean, that may sound like something that everybody should just automatically know, but that's not always the case. So those are things that you can bring up front to their attention, is that what you expect. And then from a task standpoint, of course, yes, you can do that too, in saying, well, I have my expectation around my calendar is that I won't meet with anybody before 8 or after 4. So it's twofold. You know, you could have both of those expectations.
Okay. So just, and in that way, it's helping everybody, because when you know, when you have communicated what you expect and when they know what's expected of them, then when you have the conversation, which could be, you know, one of those difficult conversations, to say, okay, this hasn't happened like I was, like I asked, and nobody's able to say, like, well, I didn't know, or it wasn't clear, or it's a matter of, okay, I understand. Exactly. And now we've got to change how we're moving forward. It's wonderful. So all that being said, can you just give me like just a quick overview of what's the process? How does someone start with getting a virtual assistant? What's the onboarding process? How does the assignment go? And just so that people can understand kind of how that works.
And do you mean just specifically with my company or just in general?
You can talk about what goes on with your company, Tanya, and if there's some general guidelines in there as well, that would be helpful.
Okay, sure. I definitely am working with us. You know, we want to make sure that there's a good match. And so we work with people based upon their work style, the skill set that they're looking for, personality mix in there as well, to help make the match. And so we get them matched with a virtual assistant based upon that. But then also I would say too, if you're someone who's on your own looking for a virtual assistant, some of the things that we talked about previously here on the show today would be helpful. Definitely getting those expectations clear, you know, beforehand, knowing what specific task you'd like someone to help you with. Those two things, if you're just looking for someone in general, but then also knowing, you know, what skill sets are required by someone to be able to do those tasks also. And then definitely having an onboarding system, having some sort of orientation, you know, before you begin working with someone, letting them know about your company, your expectations, and those things of that nature. And I think if you do those things, that will definitely help you get off to a great start in delegating to a team member.
Fantastic. Tanya, you have been fantastic. You've shared a lot of great information. If people are looking to find out more about you, where's the best place?
Sure. I have a podcast where I discuss a lot about delegation, productivity, working remotely. And the name of the podcast is Unbottleneck Your Business.
Okay.
I also have a lot of resources. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about ROI of working with someone, and I have an ROI calculator as one of the resources. And that can be found at teamdelegate.com/downloads.
Wonderful. I will make sure I'll put a link in there, both to your website and to the download section as well. And I will also see if I can find a link for your podcast too. So you've been absolutely wonderful. It is time for 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this, my friend?
Yes.
How long does it take you to get ready in the morning?
I know this exactly. It takes me about 40 minutes every morning to get ready.
Wonderful. Are you even remotely related to anybody that's famous?
No, I'm trying to think, but I don't, and after the show, I may think of somebody but I can't off the top of my head.
So let's put it this way then, which of your relatives would you say is the most accomplished person? And maybe it's you.
I know somebody that I have to say I'd have to go with myself. That may sound odd, but
you know what? That is not a bad thing, because you've got your own business, you're doing your own thing. And so I'll give you full credit for that. you are the most successful person in your family. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. Last question. You're down in Texas, and what is the best Texas barbecue place that's close to where you live?
We've eaten at a lot of them. There's a place called Smoke Monkey that's not far here from my house, and they have great barbecue.
All right, and when you're going to Smoke Monkey, what are you ordering?
Definitely ribs.
Okay. You know, it's a shame because for me, ribs are just, I've got a disability. My hands don't work real well, and ribs are just too much work and too much mess to make it worth it. So I will let you enjoy the ribs. I'm going to go for like burnt ends on the brisket is where I'm headed. So, all right, Tanya, you have been phenomenal. Thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you sharing all of this information. To my listeners, thank you for being here as well. And I'd encourage you again to drop us a line, follow us on social media, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. And if you have a chance, leave us a review. And I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.